thought that might give our pastor a brief reprieve, but that one's pretty fast. So again, for the second split sermon, Mr. Akima.
When my brother-in-law told me he wasn't feeling well, I kind of joked and said, well, maybe I'll just do songs and I'll just stay up here the whole time. But I appreciate Mr. Curtis filling in. Thank you so much. All right. Second split here, the second portion of it. This is the spiritual promises to Abraham and his descendant. Half of the fundamental belief, where not only looking at the physical things, the physical nation, the physical blessings to his descendants and those promises being passed along, this is looking at the spiritual promises to Abraham and his descendants from our fundamental belief number 15, for the portion that we will be covering. And that is, we believe that God, through Abraham's seed, Jesus Christ, is making salvation available to all humanity, regardless of physical lineage. Salvation is not, therefore, a right of birth. It is freely open to all whom God calls, and those who are regarded as descendants of Abraham are those according to the promises. We believe that the knowledge that God has fulfilled and continues to fulfill the physical promises made to Abraham and his children, and that he is fulfilling the spiritual promise of Jesus Christ, is critical to understanding the message of the prophets and its application to the world. So in this second message, I'd like to dive into the spiritual promises to Abraham and his descendants. The first promise, I will make you into a great nation. Bet you didn't see that one coming. I will make you into a great nation. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 4. It's so intriguing because, again, the layering that God does for his people across time, the promises that he has made. Sometimes I just sit back and I go, ah, yes, he is a parent. God is a parent. In that, what do parents do? We repeat ourselves. I told you that. There are times when my wife and I would say to the kids, we'd be like, asked and answered. When they would come up and ask a question, they'd ask like a bajillion times before. It's like asked and answered. We don't need to spend more time on that. God's promises, physically and spiritually, are the same. So if you have your 3 points from before, you can just carbon copy those because they're going to be the same ones. But we will do different scriptures. So, again, the first promise here, I will make you into a great nation. Romans chapter 4, verse 1, we see, what then shall we say that Abraham our father, so Paul's writing in the New Testament times. Now, Paul here, one of the, one of those from the tribe, oh, I think he was a Benjamite. If I remember correctly, I didn't write that down in my notes. I believe Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin, but he's from the nation of Judah, right? So, but he's one of the 12 sons of Jacob, who were the sons of Isaac, who was a twin, who was one of the sons of Abraham. But we see this getting passed down, and he's recognizing, he's saying, no, Abraham, our father, What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? What physical thing has Abraham found? Well, let's jump down to verse 13 here in Romans chapter 4. It says, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So when we're talking about the law, sometimes we can go, oh, Ten Commandments. What we need to understand when we're talking about the law in the context of these promises to Abraham is that the law was the construction of the covenant. If you will abide by this covenant, here is what the promise is going to be. Here are the blessings and the curses, going back to Deuteronomy. So we're looking at this, and he says, for the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through that covenant, which was, you know, bound by the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Or where there is no covenant, you can't break it, right? Because you don't have a covenant with somebody. You don't have a contract. They're not in breach of it because you don't have one. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. This is what he told Abraham. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God has the power to do this. He is the one who cut the covenant with Abraham. And he's telling him, a single guy who has a barren wife and no heirs except for Eliezer of Damascus, who was a servant in his household, he says, oh, I'm going to make of you a great nation. He's saying, I'm speaking it as if it already was. That's the kind of power that God has. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. This is what Abraham did. So that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He believed that God would make good on his promise, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. So what we see is we see an equating of the faith and belief of Abraham, which is what enabled the physical manifestation of those blessings. And so you have the physical manifestation of those blessings of many people, a big nation, a company of nations, right? You have the manifestation of those blessings in the land that they were given. You have the manifestation of those being passed down like inheritance. A righteous man is able to leave inheritance for his children and his children's children. So we have this inheritance that's passed down. But what Paul is bringing out here is like there's also a different line of inheritance. Those of us who are of the same mindset, of the same belief, we are also children of Abraham. He is the father of those many nations. You think about it. We are not as believers of God's way, we would probably not, even though we are a worldwide, a global work, and there are many different churches of God, but even if you took all of those believers and you packed them in, you'd be like, oh, we're a country. We don't think like that, but we are a body of believers. We're a body of people who have been brought together, those who were not a people and are now a people, right? Romans chapter 9, let's turn there. We see here a little bit of the expansion that is brought out in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8 says, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. There was a mixed multitude that went out of Egypt. There were individuals in the lineage of Christ who were not Israelites, right? I just find it so intriguing that Ruth was included in the lineage when it was very specifically said, no Moabite shall enter the holy place. You're not allowed into the tabernacle. Well, guess who had lineage of a Moabite? Jesus Christ did, right? So we have these individuals who are not all Israel, but they are all Israel. Verse 7, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And it goes on to talk about the physicality of that. But there's a continuation of what is considered a child. The seed of Abraham. It's not just the seed or the physical seed, but there are those who are counted as children of Abraham, as Israelites, who are not by lineage, Israelites. This is brought out more so in Galatians chapter 3. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. It says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, not in Hawaii. Kind of hard to visit. Kind of expensive. You don't have a lot of overlap. So you know what I did? I had aunts and uncles galore in the congregation in Ohio. It's like, I was raised by a lot of people, and I had grandparents. There are people who watched me and babysat me that I have met their grandchildren, one of my best friends, a couple who would babysit me when I was young, back in church. And you have this idea, this expansion of what is family. Like, oh, well, all those of faith are sons of Abraham? Well, that's an even broader net, right? It's not just like, oh, well, you're practically like family. You live next door. You're here all the time. You're the one in the neighborhood that's always sons of family that come. And we're like, yeah, you're close. Well, what God is doing is he's talking about this. And what Paul is bringing out here to the church of Galatia, he's saying, you know what? The heirs of Abraham, it doesn't have to do with lineage. You're so stuck on lineage. And he was talking about this with regards to circumcision and many other things with the that. You can see this duality in what God is promising, because through Abraham, all the nations of the world are blessed. He wasn't talking just about the physical things. He's talking about all the nations have the opportunity to have that relationship of faith through Christ Jesus. And so it's an amazing thing where you're talking about, well, if you say, well, your nation is going to be as many kids as you have, or as many heirs as you're going to have. On my dad's side, the Ekema family tree is a twig. My son is the only Ekema in the world in his generation that is on my family tree. So, you know what? That's a pretty small family. But you know what else? There are a lot of people who opened their arms and brought us in, that we are close to, that we are knit to, that God says, hey, you were not a people, and now you are a people. If you're looking at just lineage, you're like, oh, there's no promise of that. What if you only have daughters? Well, then you have whatever the gentleman's name was that I can't remember back in the time of the inheritance. His daughters come forward and say, what about our family? He only had daughters. And God says, you know what? I'm going to take care of you too. Because these concepts of what we see as our inheritance, these concepts of what we see as our family, God says, I'm going to expand it. I want you to know that I'm bringing you in and I'm opening the door to this possibility. And he had that from the very beginning planned out, that those who would come to believe and have faith, just like Abraham did in his belief of what God was going to do, will have the opportunity to be in the family. And so you have this massive expansion of what could be a nation. You think it's a lot of people to leave Egypt at like 600 men, not including the women and children. Oh, that's a lot? Well, that's people, nations can grow for 400 years, and you can get a larger population. You think of how large the population of the United States of America has grown from the people who first came here. To where we are now, even just in the last number of decades, we've gone up tens of millions, because it used to be, I think in 2010 or something like that, we were around 320 million, 310 million, and now we're up around 335 million. It grows. It grows quite quickly. But if you're going to take, again, the lineage of somebody and turn one family into a great nation, what God is doing is he has expanded out the definition of what that nation is, what the population is. It's not just based on physical lineage. It is based on faith. It is based on a spiritual component. Second promise that God made to Abraham was, I will give a home to your descendants forever. I'm going to make sure they have a home forever. And so a lot of people, and as you read through scripture, what the Israelites were looking for across time was probably like the Great Wall of China around this plot of land that was going to be theirs. So no one can take it from us, right? That's why people have massive military budgets for their countries, because they want to make sure that the land stays theirs. And they were looking for this physical place, and they all wanted to go back to a physical place. This is why you have individuals who you will find holy sites for any nation all over, any religion all over the globe. They want to have a pilgrimage going back, because this is the inception point of it, and this is where you need to be, and this is like the physicality of that location is more righteous and precious than anything else, but they're stuck on the physicality of it. And what God is doing here for those who are following him, those who are heirs along with Abraham of faith, have a different type of home. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. If you remember when we were looking at that that path of last week, when you were talking about Jacob going from Beersheba up to Padan Aram up in Syria. Well, Ur was even farther away up into to the north and to the east. And Ur of the Chaldeans, when he's coming down, he's leaving Haran, he's coming down, Abraham came down. He's taking that whole trip coming down. And by faith, he obeyed and he went. He didn't know where he was going. Verse 9, by faith, he dwelt in a land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sands which is by the seashore. Not only physically with all the people, very difficult to number, but we see here in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. This is one of the most difficult things. Hope deferred is very, very difficult thing. Some people struggle with that. If you're looking down the road and you can't see the end of it. These people, though, they had the promises, but they didn't fully receive them. They were assured of them. They embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And if truly, and truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God is prepared for those who are faithful, those who have the same mind as Abraham, as Sarah, as the patriarchs, all those who are listed here in Hebrews 11. It's a different kind of home. It's not just the physical one. The physical one there, and although there will be a headquarters in Jerusalem, as we know from prophecy and other areas of the Bible, but it's a different kind of inheritance. It's a different kind of home. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Luke 1, verse 30. This is the angel speaking to Mary. And he said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. This was never fulfilled, even under the largest expansions of Solomon. To be able to be told, you're going to have a kingdom forever. I mean, as long as people knew. I mean, even just, I didn't do the fast math, but we're over 200 years old as a nation. Was it 260, 270 years as a nation? And that seems like a while. That's not even as long as the children of Israel were in captivity. The Roman Empire was around for millennia. The British Empire was in charge of the world for over 400 years. They were the preeminent superpower in the world from around like 1750 or so, when they defeated for all of them. John 14, verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God. Believe also in me. It's very similar to what God asked of Abram. It says, you believed in me, an heir. You believe I'm going to make you a father of many nations. You believe that I'm going to establish your descendants in this place, as far as you can see, to the north, south, east, west. You believe that. Okay, well, Jesus says, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So I'm going to come back for you, just like that promise. I'm not only going to bring you into Egypt, Jacob, I'm also going to bring you out. There are so many echoes of the promises that God has made. Jesus says, you know now, but I'm going to come back and get you. This is what he's saying to his bride. Verse 4, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. I think that's such an intriguing thing to tell people. One of the hardest things that I find with different places is guessing where the utensil drawer is, right? If you ever rent the place for the feast, you're trying to be like, where would they have put the kitchen utensils? Where would they have put these things? And I'm a bad guesser. I open all the drawers it ends up. If you're in your home, you got a pretty good idea where things are. You know the step that creaks and which side to walk on it. You know how to avoid a thing that you remember seeing your kid leave on the floor, but you didn't have time to pick up, and it's dark, and you're not going to turn the light on because you might wake somebody up, and so you don't want to kick it and make noise, right? You know these things as you're going about your area. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, you know, where I'm going, you know, in the way you know. The reason they knew that is because you've been with me. You're thinking like me. You have faith like me. You're growing into this. We're all growing into this. Should be growing into this. As heirs, along with those disciples, along with all those who are of faith, the same faith that Abraham had with God. And so then those blessings, not just the physical things, we are blessed with a few guaranteed things in this life, tribulation, and that we will be in a hostile environment with our beliefs, right? Guaranteed, that's what Scripture says. Beyond that, maybe it's great, maybe it's not, but we have the opportunity to show through our actions and through our words and how we go about life whether or not we have faith in God that he is going to be a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, the first promise that God made, again, I will make you into a great nation. The second promise, I will give a home to your descendants forever. This is one of the amazing things that I know that I try to pass along to my children, and hopefully you do the same, to anyone you come into contact with, that God is going to take care of you. He's going to provide a place. I remember this, and I hated it as a kid, because whenever I would do something, and it seemed like it was like the Psalms thing, like David's going like, why do my enemies prosper, and I'm doing this, and it's horrible, and it's not fair, and my dad said, God sees what you're doing. He will take care of you. If we come to the point of believing that so viscerally to our inner core, you know, we want to pass it along to others. Because you know what? In this life we're promised tribulation and a hostile environment. So you have to have the faith in that. Otherwise, you're just going to get crushed. And so we want to make sure that we're passing that along to our kids, to those who are around us, that we know that God is there providing for us. The third thing that we see going on, again, consistent, much like God did with Abraham, is that the spiritual promises are passed on. The spiritual promises are passed on. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Galatians 3, verse 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promises of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet it is confirmed. No one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed, speaking of Jesus, were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, so God made this covenant with Abraham. And then when it's talking about the law, which is 430 years later, so then the covenant that was cut, the law that is given at Sinai, everything that the Jews held to the highest esteem because it was given from the prophet Moses, that law is 430 years after the promise. And so what Paul is trying to say here is you go on, verse 18, it says, actually, verse 17, and so in this I say that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God and Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So what he promised Abraham was, I will make of you a great nation. I will give your descendants a home. And he's going to pass that down as long as there was obedience, right? And so for the sake of his servants, he passed it along. Right? And so those promises got passed down. And so what Paul is trying to say is like, that promise was made. If you're trying to sit there and hold the law as if it's going to supersede it, nope, you actually have precedent here in the promise that God has made. You can't just sit there and say that it's a small, concerted, myopic view of what it's going to be. It's God's call. He made the promises. He says many nations. He says it's going to go out to the Gentiles. He says this opportunity is expanding. And so that's what we get as Paul is speaking to those in Galatia, those who were not of the household of Israel or of the house of Judah, those who were there who were coming to believe and to understand. He's saying, no, this also includes you. It's not just to those who were there at the covenant time at Sinai. It's actually much more expansive. We see this again in Romans 15, Romans chapter 15, verse 8, Romans 15, verse 8. Paul writes, now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall hope. What do we read about in Hebrews 11? There's a faith and there's a hope for what is coming. It's the same hope. Verse 13 here. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That promise is passed on through the Holy Spirit to those who believe, and that included the Gentiles, and they had the opportunity to rejoice because of it. Romans 8. Romans 8 verse 9 brings out that it says, if you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. So by contrast, if the spirit of God is in us, then we are his. And if we are his, then again, we become joint heirs. And as many as walk according to his law, we know they have the opportunity to become the Israel of God. That can be found in Galatians chapter 6. Let's go as we wrap up to Hebrews chapter 11 again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. We read verses 8 through 16 earlier, but in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If we're to garner any that were physically manifest, are but an inkling of that which was going to be spiritually manifest. Because we have the same Father who not only had the physical blessings, but is looking forward to the spiritual blessings, as we read again in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. Let's make sure that as we are going about all holy days, that we are considering the promises of our Father. Not only the physical ones that he has made manifest, but also, and more importantly, the manifestation of the spiritual ones that we're all looking forward to at his Son's return.
Thank you, Mr. Ekema. Brother Adon, if you would please stand. We'll sing hymn number 181, United Rush Through This.